And I make no apologies if I go into things that are uncomfortable for you, and scientific as well. I believe in the science of the unseen. I have found that the unseen world runs on scientific principles the same as the seen world does. He made both worlds at the same time, seen and unseen, framed them, and they both have got rules, they've got both got ways of working, and I want to know how to function in both worlds. Because Jesus functioned fully in both worlds. I'm not happy being a purely physical, temporal, limited by solar time individual that's governed by the earth. Because although I've got a natural body, I'm actually not human in the normal sense anymore. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm not actually part of this time frame. I'm part of another time frame called the new creation. And I am a part of the future that's come into the past. So we are a change in the matrix of time and space to bring a reality that transcends time itself into the pattern of the future. We are those that taste of the powers of the age to come and repopulate the past with what it will be. Okay? So I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. In saying that, this is the culture of honour. So you guys know with the culture of honour, you're all powerful to think differently. This isn't like, hey, we're all sheep, we're all clones. We're not cookie cutters, okay? So we've not all been brought out of a factory. Now, you are powerful to think differently on everything I think about tonight, and we're still family. Because good families don't have to think the same to be family. So don't feel uncomfortable to disagree. You are empowered to disagree, and the truth is, you might be right. That's the truth. Okay, what I'll do is I'll present it to the best of what I know today, and this is what I believe today, but I may not believe it tomorrow, because I'm on a journey, and to journey is to question, and to question is to journey. So I want to engage the spiral of knowledge that's ever expanding in the kingdom realm of the Father, going higher and higher. And I'm finding that new truths are writing over old truths constantly. So every time I go in the kingdom realm, I'm discovering a different perspective. And that perspective then overwrites my previous perspective, okay? So I want to take you on a journey through time and space. I want to try and make it as simple as possible. However, I don't believe that we have to stay in simplistic things. Because the Bible said this, now to the mature we do speak a higher wisdom. Now to the mature, we've got to have conversations that are for the mature. We cannot be babies sucking our thumbs. We've got to know the kingdom realm of the Father, the government of God, what the seven spirits are doing, the cloud of witnesses, the angelic canopy, because we are citizens of another dimension that's called the unseen realm, okay? Now I'm going to go right back to the beginning. Back at the beginning, Satan had fallen out of heaven, agreed? He was thrown out like lightning from heaven, and the world was ruined. And then God said, let there be light, and he overshadowed it, and he planted on earth Adam, agreed? Yeah. Now, Adam's mandate was to what? Make Eden on earth. Yeah. Now, where was Eden?
That was such a Jeff answer.
Where was Eden? I'm going to answer this because scripture actually answers it for us. Eden was in the paradise of God. It was God's garden. It was in the heavens. But there was a convergence point where two realms met, and God planted a garden. I'm going to just say it here. Genesis 2:8, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put a man who he formed. So there's this garden which is in the realm of heaven. Every king's got a garden. The garden's got he's got a garden called Eden. Eastward in that, he planted in an overlapping dimension called Earth a garden in Eden. He planted Adam in that and said, I want you to expand Eden on Earth. So what was the first mandate? Was to let it be on Earth just like heaven. So his job was to go in the kingdom realm and walk with God in Eden, in his dimension, feast off the fullness of his face, come onto the earth, and then reconstitute the molecular reality according to the pattern of what he'd seen. So it was let it be on earth just like heaven. It was meant to start on earth, and then it was meant to go into the cosmos, because the cosmos had been ruined by the fall, not of man, but by Satan. Satan's fall had ruined the cosmos. So Adam was there, and he was meant to cause humanity to grow. Now, if humanity kept having children with no death, where would all the children have lived? In Eden, which is spacious, which is the garden of the Lord, the beginning of the outer fringes of moving into those dimensions, or they could have spread out through the cosmos. I believe that humanity was meant to bring order to all of creation. So Mars has lost its atmosphere. Mars has, science proves that there's gypsum on Mars. Gypsum can only come from salty seas. There's evidence all across Mars of rivers. You can see patterns of waterfalls just like Earth. In fact, this whole website's dedicated to comparing Earth landscape to Mars, and it shows exactly the same pattern, and it shows it had an atmosphere. It lost its atmosphere. Mars and creation and the solar system is groaning to be put back to the pattern of Eden, of what it was supposed to be at the beginning. Humanity was created as the convergence point between those two realities, as ambassadors of his face, as the sons, the manifest sons, that were supposed to govern and rule over creation. Those who are faithful little will be given much and govern over many cities, many realms, many dimensions. In my Father's house are many worlds and many rooms and many Monet. Jesus was shown the worlds by Satan, not the earth. He was shown the worlds. By the way, all of the temptations of Jesus were mystical in nature. Yeah. I think it's time we became more like Jesus. Yeah. When was the last time the enemy tempted you to turn these drums into something else? When was the last time the enemy tempted you to fly off a cliff or fly off a temple like Jesus? Jesus was tempted on mystical phenomena. He was the convergence point. Okay, back to Adam. When Adam fell, the mandate fell, and it began to fall apart, and man forgot who he was. He forgot the original pattern, that he was not an animal. Animals were made of flesh. Angels were made of spirit, breath. We were like nothing else in all of creation. We were a convergence point between two realms. We were earth and heaven, and so we could have government in both spheres. The angels are limited to that sphere. We're limited to the animals are limited to this sphere. But we were created as transcendent, transdimensional beings locked into our DNA. So where does that in scripture? It's throughout scripture. It says he has put eternity in our hearts. Wow. What does that mean? It means unlike angels or anything else, he put a transdimensional quality in your heart, which is actually the record of your DNA. So not only was your spirit made to be transdimensional and spiritual and operate in the unseen, also your physical body was supposed to go in that dimension too. So you weren't supposed to just engage it with your mind, you were supposed to engage it with your body and spirit. All three dimensions of you were supposed to be able to move to and through, to and fro, through multi-planes of existence that quantum physics is now identifying through empirical study. That we now know about the non-locality of matter, that it phases in and out constantly in wave patterns and then becomes protons when it's observed. We know, for example, about quantum tunneling, where particles can skip through walls and disappear into another dimension to do it. We know about quantum entanglement, where you can separate a photon and take them to different countries, but they'll still be connected and act the same, even though they're in other countries. How are they still connected? They're connected because they're connected in another dimension. We are meant to own that dimension along with Jesus. Realms of revelation, realms of glory, worlds. We are meant to be given government of below the earth, the skies, and beyond the skies, the heavens of heavens, and unto eternity, unto perfection. Okay. Okay. So I'll just give you another scripture just quickly to show that Eden was in heaven. It was when we're talking about Satan's fall. It says, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." And it says what he looked like. "Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper." It says that your workmanship was pipes and timbrels. He was a musical instrument. He was the anointed cherub. So Eden was in that dimension where Satan walked as the anointed cherub, right? So God wanted to expand Eden over all the earth, and then there was a fall, okay? Now the mandate is this for us. "I have put my words in your mouth," Isaiah 51:15. "I have covered you with the shadow of my hand." God's looking for a shadow of itself. Heaven looks for a shadow of itself to rest on. "That I may plant the heavens." So where is God going to plant the heavens? On the earth. "Lay the foundations of the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven." So we have a problem. When Adam sinned, he started this thing where humanity forgot who they were. Humanity forgot their purpose. And within a short time, everybody had turned away from the Lord and forgotten what they were supposed to be, what they were supposed to do. But there was one man, one outrageous man, the seventh from Adam, Enoch. The number seven is important. He is the only person that's numbered in terms of where it says how far he was after Adam. Why does it say seven? Because seven is the number of completion or perfection, but it's the number that it will be at the end. Enoch is a type of what's coming. Because he represented fullness or completion. Now, Enoch did something amazing. He so believed in the goodness of God that he believed he could get back into Eden past the fiery angels. Because he saw something. He saw at the very beginning that before the world was even laid, the Lamb had been slain. So he began to live before the foundation of the world. That's in the book of Revelation. It says that he was slain before the foundation of the world. And by faith, Enoch saw what was beyond time and the goodness of the Lord, that he could walk with God hand in hand for 365 years. 365 years is a year of years. So he walked hand in hand for 365 years with the Lord. And he's so engaged with that revelatory capacity, that capacity to move to and fro in the earth, it says that the Lord kept him. In Hebrews it says, because of faith, Enoch skipped death. So even back then, death was not necessary. Even pre-cross, it was you could skip death because humans were never actually made to die. Death is a failure to fulfill your scroll. That's why it says in the cloud of witnesses, they're not complete apart from us. Why are they not complete apart from us? Because they died. It says they died having not obtained the promises. But there are those that didn't die, and they were given permission to stand on the earth again, like Elijah stood on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus because he didn't die. How did Moses stand there? Because Moses got his body back. It says Satan fought for his body. Why did he fight for his body? Because he was trying to stop him fulfilling a mandate in the future. Enoch kept his body. So that you could have convergence between two realms. You could actually govern on the earth if you've still got that body. That's why resurrection body is necessary for them to engage earth. But check this out. When Jesus died, it says loads of saints were resurrected. Yes. Which means there's a whole group of people that can now go into two dimensions fully that are in the kingdom realm of God and have actually got permission to be on earth just like heaven. Yay! Wow. So I believe we're going into a new mystical era. Now, what's the difference between the prophetic and the mystical? I was part of the prophetic movement. I did prophecy schools. I was always hanging around prophets. And the prophecy was this, that the word of the Lord comes to me and I would see a vision. The mystic realm is this. I am in the kingdom realm of the Father. I am the other side of the veil. So I go, it says pray in the spirit at all times. Does that mean pray here in anointing? No, it means pray in the spirit. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I was trying to understand something. What was John doing? What did it mean that he was in the spirit on the Lord's day? What does it mean to be in the spirit? And I began seeking truth. How do you appear before God in Zion? How do I physically appear? How do I move up and down into and fro, because it says in him I live and move and have my being. It says he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That means wherever he is, you've got the capacity to be, because wherever his spirit is, your spirit is. You move your conscious reality, your soul, through desire. Desire activates that potential within you. It's the law of focus. What the eye hooks into multiplies. What you look at is what opens. You'll often see this in, like, for example, Daniel said 11 times, I looked and saw. How do you see? You look. Okay, so Jesus came to restore what was lost in Adam and be the firstborn of a new human race. True? He was the firstborn of a brand new creation, a brand new world. Now, when he came upon the earth, he met with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was meant to be an expert. And Jesus had the most frustrating conversation because he sneaks up to him in the night, and Jesus is just full of the realms of heaven, and he wants to speak about heaven, and he's bursting with this desire. And he says, unless you are born again, born from above, born from unseen, born from that pattern of the winds, you cannot enter into the fullness of this kingdom. You can't see it. And Nicodemus is going, how do I get back into my mother's womb? And he's going, you don't even understand being born again. I want to propose to you that most of the church does not understand being born again. It doesn't understand that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has already begun.
Yes.
Whoa, Paul put it like this, I now no longer look at any man like a man. It says if you're arguing, you're acting like humans. So to act like human is to act like what we were before we were co-crucified together with him. People are waiting for death to be your savior. Death isn't your savior. It says I consider myself as already died. I have been co-crucified together with Christ. I no longer live. He embraced his death as mine. His cross was my cross. His tomb was my tomb. In baptism, I'm planted into his death. In his life, I am co-raised, co-seated in another dimension, another quantum physical world. Part of me was sucked there and positioned there in him. And now I am blessed in heavenly places. I'm a citizen of heavenly places. I am seated in heavenly places. I am a citizen of a heavenly place. And it says, come boldly before the throne of grace. It says, you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. It doesn't say, you will come to Mount Zion. It says, you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. When I go and pray in my prayer closet, I move into the kingdom realm. I turn into it. Because this is as close to me as the air that I breathe. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Don't go say it's over there, it's over there. It's right next to you. As you turn into it, it becomes the source of your supply. You are the gateway. You are the door. You are the one that's powerful. No one's forced to walk in heaven. No one's forced to understand the kingdom realm of the Father. Walk with angels. Because heaven is based on the culture of honor, where it's made you powerful. It's saying, how much of me do you want? How much do you want to know? Do you want to be like Enoch? And I tell you what, Enoch was insane. Enoch wanted to see it all. I mean, Enoch started to blur the boundary and move between dimensions, and he asked to see all of it. The mountains of God, the edges of time and space, the pattern of the cosmos, the solar system. He even started to transcend time, because in him you transcend time. So it gives you the capacity to move back or forwards. Why? Because you're already in him. So when Adam was created, you were there. That's how Moses was able to write the first five books of the Bible, because he could see it in him. You can see it in him. That's how Isaiah was able to see a virgin will give birth, and it happened. And he saw a day beyond that where he'd be whipped, and it happened. And he saw a day beyond that where the glory would be seen upon you, and nations would come to the brightness of your day. And then he looked even further in the timeline in Jesus and saw a day was coming where there'd be no armies on the earth. Where creation would come back to the pattern of Eden, where earth would no longer be at war with itself. It says there's no armies in the future, the Bible says. It says they'll make food instead of war. It says if you die at 100, you'll be like a kid. Isaiah saw through that timeline in him. Because it didn't matter where they were. David was able to live out of Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit was given. It says specifically, in Acts 2, that the Holy Spirit was given. But it's, David said in the past, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. How could he say, do not take your Holy Spirit from me? Because he wasn't living out of his time. He was living out of eternity in his heart. In him we live and move. And he was engaging with the grace from the future. So I believe it's time for forced change. It's time to look into the distant future. Because if you can see the future, you can have a part of it. So the law, it says that Moses and the prophets testified of Jesus. Because of their testimony, they were allowed to stand on the mountain of transfiguration. It says, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Because Abraham saw his day, all the nations were blessed because of Jesus' seed.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
So I'm coming back to John 3. Unless you're born again, you cannot see. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So the fruit of being born again is sight. According to Jesus, the fruit of being born again is sight. So he testified of what he had seen in heaven, and then he completely throws Nicodemus' mind. He says, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in heaven. So you've got this situation where they're facing each other, and he's saying, no one's come down from heaven except the Son of Man, that's me, who's in heaven. So he was in dual realities. He was existing there and here. That's called quantum entanglement. It's now a measurable physical phenomenon. When you take one proton or one element of light, you separate it into two exact copies. And if you, whatever you do to that one will do, even if it's on the other side of the planet. So if you spin it, that one will spin. If you add another photon to it, that one will add another photon. Even though they're in two completely different locations. And guess what? They don't do it at the speed of light, which physics would have said. Physics would have said it needed to send a message. If it was sending a message through our realm, it would have needed to travel at the speed of light. Do you know what happens? It doesn't travel at all. It's instant. And there's only one way that is possible for it to be instant. Do you guys know what that is? It's because they're not really separate. They just look separate. They are actually like that, but in another dimension. Every scientist now agrees in the existence of this dimension. They do not know how many dimensions there are. I want to propose to you that we are at the beginnings of a revolution in technology, a revolution in moving through dimensions, a revolution in moving through space, a revolution in understanding the mysteries of God, the working with heaven, blurring the boundaries, that us affecting heaven, heaven affecting earth, walking in the ways of God, walking in the ancient paths. Where are the ancient paths? The prophet said, walk in the ancient paths, which means it was before the prophets. It's back at the beginning, in the what was. That's where he was slain before the foundation of the world. We got capacity to engage communion in the spirit in the what was. Which side of the veil do you live off? Do you eat communion here, or do you go beyond the veil where it becomes life and the body of God, and whoever eats it will not die? Have you tried to change the frequency and sound of your DNA? Have you gone after genetic markers and triggers in your DNA to conform it to the pattern? Because this is the incorruptible. Corruptible has to put on incorruptible. Come on. Whoa. So Jesus modeled something. He modeled a multidimensional world. Consider this. When they grabbed him violently and they were going to throw him off a cliff, he disappeared and walked through them. As a man. And he said, the works I will do, you will do. Except even greater, because I'm not insecure. It says that they wanted to stone him in the temple, and he disappeared. He hid himself in the temple. People think, oh, he hid himself. It's like, that's like me preaching now, and you're really angry at me, so I kind of hide behind him. No, what did he do? He enveloped his spirit in his body in his temple. And moved it out of the wave pattern of created light into creative light, which is of a different frequency. You're an interference in the wave pattern of light. You are a song. You're a coding of DNA. You are an interference in that pattern, but it's a fine dimensional wavelength, which we've got the ability, when you put eternity in our hearts, encoded DNA with the ability to step into that. Not just with your spirit. Your spirits don't sleep at night. They're always engaging. I've been practicing getting my mind where my spirit is. Do you take your mind in the spirit at night? I slept, but my heart was awake. How do you meditate on his word day and night? If you sleep like a normal human, you're not understanding who you are.
Come on. Yeah.
One step further is you take your body into the realm of the spirit, and that's where I want to learn right now. When I'm having these weird experiences where I expand, where my skin ripples. We've had like even someone on our team this week, their arms went invisible. We've had one woman that we work with disappear in front of her work colleagues accidentally when she was engaged in the kingdom realm of the Father. She disappeared because Jesus did it. So why can't we? Do you know what happened? She set her mind on things above, and her affections and heart were so there that her spirit changed the frequency of her body. All you need is a slight tweak of your frequency to be in that other dimension. It's all about frequencies. It's DNA. It's scientific in nature. This is something that God has created in us, and he's saying this, right? What he said to Nicodemus, he's saying now. When Nicodemus didn't get being born again, he said, but I wanted to talk about heavenly things. The cry, the beating heart of Jesus is, I want you to be where I am and to see my glory. Now, he knew we were completely incapable of getting there ourselves, so he did it for us. He came and he did what we could never do. He scooped us off the garbage dump and seated us with princes. He scooped us into himself and he moved through the dimension so that we could be back where we were before.
You guys all right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is what you're expecting, but that's good.
Hey, you know, when you can move out of your body and heal someone, or go to a remote place, and you can change a law and it changes in the news, when you can see future events because you're moving through the timeline, you begin to realize this is what it means to be John 10:10. I came to give you life and life more abundantly. He didn't come to give you a limited solar time frame existence of materialism. He came to give you a brand new world. Colossians 3, if then you were raised with Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, it's already happened. It's already happened. The new wineskin happened 2,000 years ago. People are looking for new church wineskins. Church is our stuff. Ecclesia is God's stuff. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. It would be so unfair to say set your mind on things above if you couldn't do it. Listen, it says in Ephesians that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. What does that mean, the eyes of your heart? It means three things. It means your will, your mind and emotions. You have to choose with your mind to set and think about it. You have to choose with your will not to be afraid of it and desire it, and your emotions not to be scared of it. You turn your will into it, you turn your heart into it, and you do what Daniel did, what Nehemiah did, what Ezekiel did, what John did, what Enoch did, and you allow his presence to become a gateway and a door, because he's the door there, not death. Death is not the hero that's coming to rescue you at the end of your life to qualify you for walking in that dimension. If you're waiting for death to see angels, if you're waiting for death to see the cloud of witnesses, if you're waiting for death to move to and fro, then then death is your savior, and death will come for you. And death will be your hero. But I've discovered there's another hero in the story. There's another hero that said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am that gateway. And you can come to and fro, come boldly to where I've already positioned you, and be a part of something now to shape the past with the pattern of the future.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, for you died. I'm reading scripture, everything I'm saying is, I've got verses for. I can argue with people on verses for everything that I'm saying. This is scriptural. Paul knew this. Paul knew how to leave his body and be present with Colossians. He knew how to be present with them. He said, I can't be with you, but when my spirit shows up, hand that man over for discipline. He said, I'm absent in the body, but present with you in the spirit, watching everything you're doing.
That's
That's right.
They did it in the Old Testament. Elisha followed his servant
Gehazi.
How did he follow him? He said, "My heart went out with you." How do you follow someone in the Spirit? You hold them in your heart as a loving father, as a loving mother. How am I present with other churches that I oversee, even though physically I'm not there? Because I hold them in my heart and I love them, and I can see what goes on with them. So sometimes I've appeared in meetings physically in Scotland and been seen in other places, but when I'm present praying in Wales. How do I do that? Because I hold them in my heart. I hold them in my affections. And desire and my love moves me in the kingdom realm. How can I be where they are? Because we are all one in Him.
Wow.
So I'm all, it's quantum entanglement. It might look like they're in Scotland. It might look like I'm in Wales. But in the quantum field, we are united. We are one spirit with Him. This is why we can have one mind. That's how we can know each other's thoughts. It says Jesus, knowing their thoughts, spoke. In heaven, everybody knows each other's thoughts because it's clean, it's holy. No one's afraid. Everybody loves each other, believes in each other, are passionate about each other. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. So you can begin to engage with the thoughts of everyone around you and know the secrets and intents of their heart because you're in them and they're in you and you're a family.
Yeah.
The Catholics call it cardiogenosis, knowing the secret thoughts and intents of the heart. How am I doing for time? I'm probably nearly done. This is only so much you can handle in one go. Right. When Christ is... I'm going to fry everybody's brains and I'm going to show that not only can you... Not only do you exist in heaven, you exist in earth, but there's two of you now in existence, okay? And scriptural. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3, verse 4. I'll read it in another translation, because you didn't hear me. Your old life is dead. Agreed? So why are you waiting for death to qualify you? Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. So where's your real life? Are you going to start living your real life? Are you going to pussyfoot around on earth, wasting your time, and you're supposed to be engaging with the kingdom realm with the Father, learning His ways? He is your life. Who's your life now?
He is.
He is. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on earth, you'll show up too. The real you.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, I'm going to read it again, because you don't believe me. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on earth, you show up too, the real you, the glorious you. I'll read it in another translation. Pursue with diligence the consequence, this is the third translation, I'm reading the same verse, to hammer a point into you. Okay, I could choose to use Zechariah 3. I could choose to use Hebrews 12. I could choose to use the book of Revelation. I'm just choosing Colossians 3 right now. Because I think in Colossians 3 is a mystery concealed for the seeker. Listen to this. Listen. Pursue with diligence the consequence of your co-inclusion in Christ. Are you pursuing the consequence? Relocate yourself mentally. Have you done a mental relocation? Are you under the weather or over the weather? You can only have government of what you're over because government is the head. If you want to change weather patterns, and we do this on a regular basis, you have to be above it, not below it. Creation belongs to earth, belongs to men, the heavens belong to God. That's what the Bible says. If earth is in chaos, it's because you're not doing your job. Relocate yourself mentally. His resurrection co-raised you to the same position of authority, seated in the strength of God's right hand. And I love this verse. Becoming affectionately acquainted with throne room thoughts. Let's just stop there. Affectionately. That, what does that mean? You know, I said if you hold someone in your heart, you can be present with them. So I have to go and visit my wife when I'm travelling. I'll go in the spirit and check the kids are okay, see if they're having nightmares and stuff. Because I'm one with her. I hold her in my heart. I sit over the house. I'm the governing of the house. I've got permission in the government of God to be present with my wife because I'm one spirit with her anyway. Yeah. I'm one flesh with her. This is a mystery that God has done that. But when Paul talked about it, he says, I'm not even talking about marriage. I'm talking about Christ and the church. The same principle applies wherever he is, you can be. If you hold it in your heart. Well, here's my question for you. Do you hold heaven affectionately in your heart? Because if it has weight in your heart, it has weight on the earth. If you're not seeing heaven, it's because you don't hold it affectionately enough. In essence, life flows through honor. What's another word for honor? Value. If you put value on it, it allows it to flow. If it has weight in your heart, it has weight on the earth, and it becomes the world that you walk in. So you're powerful enough to make that choice. I can't make you choose that, but I've chosen that, and now it's becoming a real existence. I've had money materialize. I've had angels come to visit me. I've encountered the cloud of witnesses many times because they're not dead, they're alive. Jesus himself said that. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of the living, not the dead. And Hebrews 12 says, we're surrounded by them. They're as close to us as the air that we breathe. It says that we appear before God in Zion, surrounded by innumerable company of angels. It's pretty difficult not to bump into an angel when you turn into that dimension. We're surrounded by the church of the firstborn, those who are perfected in heaven. It's very difficult to avoid people when you're there. And listen, religious church says, oh, you can't speak to them. Well, on that measure, then John was in sin when he wrote the book of Revelation because he kept asking, what's going on? What the heck's going on? What the heck's going on? And he tried to worship one of them. He says, don't do that. I'm just a person like you. So the rules that we've created would mean we'd have to burn the Bible. People say things like, how can groups of you go into heaven all together? And they say, you've got to believe the word. You've got to believe the word. That sounds like spirit travel. That sounds like New Age. Haven't they read Zechariah 3, where Joshua the high priest, all of his friends, and Zechariah all went into heaven together as a group? Haven't they read in the history of Moses, where all the elders went up on the sea of glass together and ate? Listen, they say things like, you can't talk to angels, but you can talk, because talking to angels is worshipping them. That means you're worshipping your animals, your cat, your dog, you're worshipping your friend, you're worshipping your mobile phone. Because we made laws and rules that make the power of God no effect. But Jesus surrounds himself with angels. He's friends with them, and as he is, you are. So if you're not friends with angels, why? Because it says he commands them concerning all of your ways, which means they're involved in everything to do with your life. Oh no, I'm waiting for death to allow me to talk to an angel. Because death's going to come as my hero and make me worthy of talking to them and make them clean. That's a good point. We've got to be biblical Christians. We have to stop being scared. Because fear is faith in the devil's ability to deceive.
Yes. Come on.
We're operating in the wrong type of faith. We're operating in faith in deception.
Yeah. Whoa.
Because we don't understand in him we live and move. Have our being. Becoming acquainted affectionately, I'm almost finished, with throne room thoughts will keep you from being distracted again by earthy soul realm. How do you get stop being distracted by what's going on with earth? You get distracted by heaven. I'm not just saying that as a flippant thing. The degree that you're moved by earth is the degree that your heart is still centered here. People want to be like the 10 virgins and have oil. Oh, you've heard them preach. Oh, there's 10 virgins. 5 of them kept enough oil and 5 of them didn't. Oh, we've got to keep our oil. But listen, the story says they were all asleep. Yeah. But someone came out of the kingdom realm of the Father and said, wake up. There's another person in that story that the church has been blind to because it hasn't understood if any man be in Christ. He is kainos, which means a brand new world, a new creation. Kainos is not a replacement. It says when you're a new creation, it uses the word kainos. Neos means replacement. So a new waistcoat, which looked like this, would be neos. It says if any man be in Christ, he is kainos. It means novel, different, altogether, something that's never been seen before. So it's not like having another waistcoat. It's like having a glowing, flying, superpowered, go through walls, travel through time and space.
Listen, how is all of creation waiting for the revelation of you if you don't know how to travel to all of creation? How are we going to get to interstellar space? Are we waiting for rockets? Your union with his death, I love union, being united to him. Your union with his death broke the association with that world. Listen to this last verse, and I'll end on this, okay? The secret of your life now is the fact that you are wrapped up with Christ in God. The secret of your life now is that you are wrapped up with Christ in God.
Pleasures of loving.